What the fuck going on? Welcome back to Why You're Wrong, episode number 2.
Actually, it should be called, babe, it should be Why You're Wrong, because you're the wrong one.
It is Why You're Wrong.
No, Why You're Wrong.
No, it's Why You're Wrong. All right. Anyways. I'm back here with my wife. and my sexy co-host, Carla J. Cassampoy. Mm-hmm. Tell them what the fuck going on.
What the fuck going on, bitches?
Alright, what are we talking about this episode?
Today we're going to talk about something fun. All the fun times that we've had together.
Yes, yes, very, very fun times.
And
I can count them on one hand.
And that includes us being on our
drugs, also known as
drug trips.
Or more specifically, psychedelics.
Psychedelic, as you like to call it, but I just call them drugs. Because they're still drugs.
They are drugs. But everything is a drug. Food's a drug. Water's a drug. It all has an effect on you.
But those aren't, like, bad.
I'd beg to differ. Eat a bunch of donuts. See how you feel afterwards.
But those are different kinds of foods. Not like you can have different kinds of drugs.
What do you mean?
And it'll be, like, good for you.
I'm literally saying donut is a drug. Sugar is a drug. It affects your biology or whatever, in your physiology.
Anyways, guys, so we had some pretty crazy drug experiences.
We most definitely did. Well, let's label them psychedelic experiences, since we don't really do anything else but psychedelics.
How about that heroin trip?
Oh yeah, that was a fun one.
So specifically acid and shrooms. Yeah. And Molly, because Molly, that was an interesting time.
Molly is an amazing, although it's not a psychedelic, apparently it's called an entheogen, which I have no clue what that means, but
they're all drugs to me again. But anyways,
this is why she's wrong.
And I hear that 20 times a fucking day.
Not even.
So basically, here's a little backstory though. I never want to ever do drugs in my life.
Psychedelics. Stop saying drugs, because
okay,
there's a difference.
Psychedelics.
Because obviously nobody wants to do heroin, for the most part.
Got into a huge fight on the streetcar, and
it wasn't a huge fight. It was an argument, which both with upset both of us. Yeah,
we weren't even official yet.
Were we not?
No, we were not.
I feel like we were. I feel like we were.
No, because I remember saying, "I'm not doing no fucking drugs with fucking stranger."
Shut up, that's not what the argument you were making. I don't remember what the argument we were making. But what was the ignorant shit about how psychedelics mess you up, or all the stigma associated with it?
The problem I had with that was, like, I just didn't want to do it. Because I just knew I wasn't in the right headspace, but you just kept pushing me to do it.
I did not push you to do them. I just have I'd have discussions with you.
Okay, well, long story short, actually this was last year. Right?
Last year was that our first trip?
That was
so last year, September, I think.
Because I remember you went to Lebanon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you went to Lebanon 2 weeks after our trip.
Yeah, that would be our first of how many?
At least less than a week.
We have approximately 10 trips together under our belt. Maybe 5 to 10, somewhere within that range.
And many more to go.
Most definitely. Why are you joking? You wanted to do LSD today.
I was joking about that.
I wasn't in my consideration of doing it.
True.
If I decided, I would have been like, you know what, fuck it, let's pop it.
Why didn't we do it today?
Because LSD's 12 hours. I wish I had shroomies.
Ew.
Sometimes LSD is good for when, you know.
I like LSD better.
You just like taking LSD better because it's easier than mushrooms.
Mushrooms just make me feel sick, honestly. I just can't do that. And I had a pretty bad trip on it.
It's not a bad trip.
It was a bad trip to me, but we'll get into it.
There is no such thing as a bad trip on psychedelics. All bad trips on psychedelics are a reflection of your mind and whatever is going on then.
Okay, whatever.
But it is an opportunity for you to go beyond it and to let out what you need to let out, because you let out a lot of stuff that trip.
I did let out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, which is
good. I was very paranoid when I first took shrooms. The shrooms were very disgusting. And
well, even
I did
with
not
even
know
without.
What to expect.
Oh, true. I thought you meant because part of your bad trip was being paranoid while we were outside on that shroomy trip.
Yeah.
But like that's even in day to day, You have an irrational fear of like always somebody watching you in a way.
Me?
Yeah. Like sometimes we'll be out and talking, we'll be like, be careful, there's like there's somebody looking out. Like I'm not saying this happens every single second, but like sometimes that happens, and if it happens on a psychedelic, that feeling is enhanced by 10 since you're like psychedelics kind of slow everything down and make you experience that more fully. So something that you feel while sober or in normal waking consciousness would kind of come and go right away. Mm-hmm. But since psychedelics kind of slow everything down and you stay with things longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who knows what I was.
And then the paranoia built on top of each other if you don't kind of expel it.
Yeah. I remember that time. That time was very interesting.
Yeah.
But anyways, so our first trip, it's actually an amazing trip, actually.
Of our trips are very amazing.
Well, actually, yes. Most of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
But that one we have some crazy sex on. That is one of the best. We can talk about whatever.
Talk about that, but
psychedelic sex is the best sex.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's very intense.
Yeah. That's what I love about it. You kind of merge into one. And it's like a build up.
Your eyes roll back.
Of intensity. It goes, and then it's like boom and an explosion.
Yeah, it was one of those kind of, it's one of those moments where you're like, oh my God, I'm so happy to be alive.
Yeah.
You know?
Our psychedelic sex is amazing.
And then the crazy part is like when you're done, like you're still tripping. So like you can go on for hours and it's hours on end.
Yeah.
You know? But during that trip, we had a lot of conversations,
and which we usually do on our psychedelics.
Yeah, and I guess that's when we started growing a more of a stronger relationship.
Mm-hmm. Psychedelics are very good therapeutically for a relationship and even just for yourself.
Yeah, I agree. And also
what ways would you say psychedelics have helped you, so more specifically?
Probably get in touch more with my inner voice.
Yeah.
You know that voice that like you just constantly like hear?
Yeah.
In the back of your head? Yeah, I just get more in touch with that person and whatever that person wants. You know?
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. It's very
See, I think we kind of talked about this in the past episode. So that authentic voice inside.
Yes.
Versus the egoic BAS. Yeah.
And you just kind of feel more yourself, like you don't care, and you can do whatever the fuck you want, and you can like do so many things all at once, and like I don't know, it's a great fucking feeling. And
yeah, because so psychedelics pretty much turn off the ego. So, and the ego is usually where people, how do I want to describe this? It's kind of thing that gets in the way of being your authentic self, because you're always so concerned or always so self-conscious instead of just being. You're so kind of reflect
your self-conscious. It wipes the top layer of like your true self, covering your true self.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you can just be you very comfortably. Yeah.
How would you say psychedelics have helped you?
Right. I guess seeing clearly is one useful thing about psychedelics. It lets you see the situation as it is, with no preconceived biases or judgments, which helps you.
Very true.
Yeah, that's the best thing about psychedelics, and why I found it super useful for our communication, because we can communicate without being personally attacked by it and actually seeing things as they are without anybody's ego getting wrapped up in it and being offended, and then the emotional reactions that are a result of somebody being offended or having their ego caught up in bullshit.
I was afraid that when we do this, that we can only communicate on drugs or like on like a substance.
Yeah.
In which it's nothing like that. But obviously not. That's what I thought.
Yeah, well, that's definitely a reasonable concern to have, because you don't want to only be able to rely on psychedelics to see clearly. You should be able to, in your normal day-to-day, also do that. And psychedelics are helpful as a tool to kind of, like a potion that makes you do that easily. but you kind of also have to start doing that and like sober day-to-day consciousness or nothing changes.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
How else would you say that psychedelics helped you?
So they're seeing things more clearly, no preconceived biases. It kind of relaxes all the belief structures in your head.
Also, it like creates, it like, you see the world in a totally different perspective. As if you're seeing it for the first time.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say.
That's number one.
And it kind of relates to the preconceived notions, because usually when we go about the world, it's like we've already seen things, so our brain kind of predicts already what it's to expect. But psychedelics literally turn that off in a way. So there's no more prediction. It's as if you're seeing something for the first time. And so even when you're communicating, that goes, it plays into the communication aspect, where while you're communicating, you're not jumping to assumptions and et cetera and all the bullshit that we normally do when we're ineffectively communicating or just ineffectively analyzing ourselves and everything.
When we're talking?
Yeah.
True.
And in a way, it kind of lets you become more of an observer of yourself rather than caught up in yourself.
That is actually very true. And
Well, that's the thing about it expanding consciousness. When you're expanding consciousness, or I guess more identified with consciousness rather than yourself, it's like there's a separation between the two, which always exists. But in normal day-to-day,
you're like asleep, basically.
Or you're more caught up with the character you are rather than the thing that observes the character.
Yeah. Insane. It's very beneficial, depending on how you look at it. But...
Well, I think it's just very beneficial. Any way you look at it, psychedelics are beneficial.
Yeah. That's very true. Okay, so what happened during our first psychedelic trip?
We took the LSD... chilled for a bit.
I kept saying like it was a breath of fresh air, because it literally felt like I was like breathing for the first time.
Yeah.
And like you really just, it just really feels so nice when you breathe, like you like breathe in such cold neutral air.
Yeah, that's like your entire system is relaxed, and mind and everything.
Yeah, like you really have just no like, fucks in the world.
You feel really light.
Yeah, like you really like, like you, yeah, like you feel like usually on a day-to-day basis you feel like something's like weighing you down, and that's all like the random shit that goes on in your head, like,
yeah,
that you're subconsciously thinking about
or even consciously thinking about. All of that kind of weighs down on your body.
What's the difference between subconscious and conscious?
Well, conscious is what you're aware of. Subconscious is beneath your awareness, so you're unaware of it.
Oh, but yet it's still there.
Yeah, like for example, let's take somebody who loves attention, but they don't know it, but they're always doing things that result in them getting attention, you know,
but they don't mean to.
Not that they don't mean to, but they've never contemplated as, or maybe they don't mean to.
Yeah,
you're right. So that's actually one of the things about being unconscious, is the fact that you might be doing something to fill an unconscious need that you might not be doing if you realize that that's what you're doing. So if you were to look into yourself, be like, holy shit, I keep seeking attention because my parents never loved me, first example.
Shoot, so is that and your then, subconscious talking or
no, that's you bringing it to your consciousness. Oh, true. Because at first when it's subconscious, you're doing these things, and maybe you're doing because usually there's like a void you're trying to fill when you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep getting attention, but you're like, what is going on? Like, why don't I feel better? Why do I keep doing this? You're just naturally curious about yourself. And then you start to put the pieces together, and it comes to your conscious mind when you look inwards. You're like, oh shit, I'm doing this because I never had nobody paid attention to me when I was younger, for example.
True.
And then that's when it's in your conscious mind, and that's when you begin to be able to kind of dissolve that reaction. It's like, wait, I don't need that or anything to feel whole. And so maybe you no longer do it or whatever. So now you're in a higher state of consciousness because you're no longer letting a dark spot in your mind dictate your behavior.
So would you say that's how it is when you're sober, like when you're not on drugs?
Well, LSD and like psychedelics in general, they expand your consciousness, so it's less likely for you to be doing some unconscious shit. And if you were, it's easier to kind of snap mm-hmm. out of it because you're more in the observer mode.
Agreed. But
there's definitely like in a day-to-day waking consciousness and our sober state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like a spectrum. There are varying degrees of how conscious and unconscious of you are of certain things.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are very, very unconscious.
You've had your fair share of psychedelics even way before me.
Yeah.
What got you hooked?
What
was that moment?
Do you remember that moment? I don't specifically remember, but I do remember the first time I took mushrooms. It was in Montreal in first year of university with a couple lads.
Lads.
Yeah, and we were at some music festival. I remember I wrote down some notes on my trip. I don't remember it too much, but looking back on my notes, I just remember that it was a very interesting experience. And for some reason afterwards, I was just insanely curious about my experience on psychedelics. And my love affair with them has started ever since then. And like, I think they brought some things. Back then I was still, I guess, religious.
Retarded.
Yeah, pretty much retarded.
Yes, so you say that you were religious back then.
And after the shroomies, I guess it just unbundled so much within me that I wasn't paying attention to, or I was ignoring, trying not to look at.
Because you didn't want to bring it to the surface because you knew that it was going to... You're
gonna
end up, that you're gonna turn out like this.
Not because of that, but it's fear is the thing that kind of stops people from going inside. And so the shrooms brought that up for me or whatever, and nothing really happened on the trip, but it was just afterwards, like processing everything and letting it out. I didn't have that therapeutic of a trip because
was this shrooms or acid?
Shrooms. But then because
wait, which one did you take for shrooms or acid?
Shrooms.
Okay.
Yeah. But then most of my other trips have been LSD just because it's easier to get and easier to dose.
But, way easier.
But yeah. So I struggled with some religious shit afterwards. That's when I became agnostic and started my relationship with psychedelics and exploring
the world of consciousness. Now his religion is psychedelics. Literally, because this is all this guy fucking praises.
I don't even need psychedelics to be in that state anymore.
Yeah, I know, but you wouldn't have gotten to this state if it wasn't for psychedelics,
Definitely not. They're a helpful tool along the journey.
Let's say...
But it was a process. It wasn't just the psychedelics, because you don't do psychedelics and your life changes. It's kind of like an up and down. Like, you take psychedelics, you might learn something, but then, like, you go back to normal, and then you have to, like, process that while you're normal, or continue to think about it while you're normal. Or
that's
sober.
Why you take notes.
Yeah, because now, like after so many trips, now when I do psychedelics, there's nothing for me to go in or to analyze or anything, because there's nothing else.
It's
just like I totally relax.
Yeah, it's crazy because also when I had my meltdown, you were so calm, like you knew how to deal with this shit.
Yeah, and it's good. I don't see those as bad. Like those are those are the most important parts of psychedelics. Is when you have those breakdowns and you go into what is stuck inside you. Because everybody has a lot of weight stored within them. Kind of like how I see it was like clogged pipes. And that day when you were having what you call a bad trip, when I was talking to you about something that was deeply painful to you, which is the feeling of being weak or whatever, it was like you had a lot of clogged pipes.
But there
was
also more stuff.
I'm just giving like one example. I don't want to go into your entire psychology or everything that happened on that trip, but that was one of the main things. And so for you had a lot of kind of backed up pain because of that feeling. What I did was I was asking you questions and I was trying to find out what it is, and all I was mainly was listening, and then sometimes I was kind of guiding you by asking questions to find out more. So you kind of, and when I'd strike something
sometimes you ask the wrong questions.
Yeah, I know. And you'd feel it, which was so cool. It was like playing the wrong note on a piano. I was like, oh shit, that wasn't it. But part of it is like a skill to know like exactly what to ask. And it's kind of like a balance. Like I'd ask something wrong, I'd feel off, but then I'd ask something right and it'd be like the music piece continues, which was so... It was, I actually had a lot of fun doing that.
It was quite insane.
When I'd ask the right thing, it'd be like, you'd have more emotions come out. like more tears and everything, and that's your clogs being unpiped. Mm-hmm. And after that, like after your pain or whatever, and after all that, like you were back to being yourself and you felt lighter and you were breathing lighter and everything.
I guess I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
That was very, that was a super interesting trip. But yeah, I definitely need to get out what was feeling so backed up during that time.
Yeah. Like how I like to see it. And it's more clear on like psychedelics. Everything feels like childlike. I feel like a kid. And when I was with you, it felt like I was a little boy and you were a little girl on like a playground.
Weird.
Not weird, it was cute.
And
I
playful.
Whenever I look at somebody now, I kind of see them as like a kid inside and like an adult body. And it's like, like your most authentic self is when you're more in a childlike state, when you're curious, free to do you as you do. Because think about how children are in the world. They do whatever they want. They have fun. They let their emotions pass through. They're curious.
Yeah.
And they're never thinking about what anybody else is thinking about them. But because as children, our parents start telling us, don't do that. You're not allowed to do that. Then we kind of get, I think what it's called, it's like a super ego. It's kind of like a parental voice in your head that's like somebody else watching. It's like, oh, you're not allowed to do that in front of people or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it kind of closes you up. Whereas kids are just, they're not even thinking that because you shouldn't be thinking about that.
Exactly. So that's why you just feel a lot more lighter. And like, yeah, you just feel so much more free to like do everything.
Yeah.
In which I love that. But I guess I just still have to like learn how to be more in touch with my inner child.
Yeah.
Literally. What else have you learned on it?
Well, things related to reality, psychology, pretty much, the mind.
Well, actually, even better question.
You know what's interesting is how when you're on psychedelics, your vision gets enhanced. You know how you wear glasses, you don't need glasses when you're on psychedelics?
Okay, no, I still need.
Well, because your vision is kind of bad, but like you see clearer.
Like, I wouldn't say clearer. Like, I wouldn't say, like, because my vision is pretty bad, but I wouldn't say, like, my vision's, like, the same if I have my glasses on. But if I did have my glasses on and I was on psychedelics, it would be a tad bit more sharper. Like, a tad bit. But I also do think it's just the visuals.
I don't think it's the visuals. Like, I've heard other people say the same thing. And even for me, like, this isn't an eye-related thing, but because all physical illnesses and ailments are rooted in the mind. And it starts in the mind.
Mental illness, isn't it?
It's all in the mind. So, I don't have the best posture. But when I'm on psychedelics and I'm in, like, a totally clean frame of mind,
mm-hmm,
everything about my body is naturally aligned. My breathing, everything is totally perfect.
Literally.
And how I thought about it before is, like, I'm still not exactly sure what's going on in that situation, but I just know it's related to the mind.
You just feel, it just feels so much more natural to even just be more aligned.
Like, yeah.
You like, literally don't even have to try.
You really don't. It's like doing nothing and the posture naturally aligns itself perfectly.
That was great. Yeah, no, that was fucking great. I literally had no idea either that I was standing up so straight, but it just felt like the most natural to me.
Yeah, which is sick. That's how we should always be, but when, again, our mind is closed up again, and we regress back to our sober state. I don't even know what it is. Like, how come when I'm on psychedelics, my posture is better? So, like, is it a muscle thing? Is it needing to, like, stretch? Because how I thought of posture before.
I think
it's
also just because, like, your mind is also pretty heavy. So a lot of your mind weighs down onto your
body. Yeah, that's what I think. Because before I used to think, oh, if you stretch, you can fix posture. But now, is it, like, a mind-related thing to fix posture?
Yeah, honestly. To be honest, I think it all starts with the mind.
Well, everything is in the mind.
Yeah, so I'm just going to start doing that, like what I said before. You know.
What else can we say about psychedelics? Pretty much the greatest tool
to
analyze.
What was your first time doing acid? And where'd you get it?
I actually don't remember. I'm assuming it's with Gestry.
True.
But it may not have been. I don't know.
No, I feel you.
I don't know where I got it, just online.
Oh, yeah, true. How many times shroom trips did you have then? To get into the mind that you are in right now.
I have them. Oh, to get into where I am now, I don't know. It's been a...
It's been a wild trip for you.
I really can't count. It's been a lot. 20 trips total.
And that's maybe how you get fucked up. Exactly why.
No. Psychedelics are harmless if you have nothing to be scared of in your mind. That's where all the fear comes in. Like, I don't think I can I know that I can't have a bad trip anymore.
You had a bad trip?
Really had a bad trip. I've had some slight...
Let's talk about that.
Uncomfortabilities.
Let's talk about that. Because those are always so much more interesting. We're talking about, like, uncomfortable trips.
There was one trip where I felt like... Where I just, for some reason, I was really confused. I recorded this, too, when I was with Gessery and Alex in the forest.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, I just said I kept feeling very, very confused for some reason. And I wouldn't go away for a bit.
What were you confused about?
I told you, I don't know. If you listen to the clips, I have no clue. I feel confused for some reason.
It's just basically like an ongoing loop.
I think it's because I was too focused in my head rather than on outside. It's kind of like all my attention was in my head behind my eyes instead of outside. And once I started focusing on the outside, things got better. I wasn't as confused anymore. I was just chill.
True. Makes sense. And how about the other times? Have you ever had any other bad trips?
Let's see. There was one time where I just felt like fear building up in me while on a walk with Gastry. And it's kind of like, first it starts off as a little scared, but then it's kind of like a feedback loop, and then you get a little bit more scared, more. But I was able to dispel it. So it was like close to having like...
A bad trip.
Yeah, or like a scary experience.
Oh, that's probably a better way to say it, a scary experience.
Or just feeling that fear, I guess. Just anxiety maybe, I don't know. But I don't know, just breathing, stopped that right away. I was like, all right, everything's cool. Most of my other times, the worst part about my trips to BH is just the come up, the uncomfortability of the come up. It's a little bit uncomfortable. And just beforehand, for some reason, I always feel a little bit anxious to take psychedelics. I'm like, oh, shit.
Really? Because your body rejecting it now.
That's my ego. It's like, it knows it's coming to die.
True.
It's mainly about like, oh, what if I have a bad trip or whatever, even though like it is impossible for me to have a bad trip.
Okay, well, what if you already know that? Well, if you already feel like you're gonna have a bad trip, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Like, it might lead to a bad trip.
Yeah,
possibly, because
you're manifesting it.
But for me, it's never happened like that. Once I'm on them, I'm like, oh, what the hell was I scared of? True, this is just normal. But it's because I used to read all these stories about other people's like bad trips and everything. So to me, it feels like it is a real thing that can happen, which it is, but I'm not those people. And I have a totally different frame of mind and way of handling psychedelics and approaching psychedelics that others may not be doing. So it's like the risk for me of a bad trip at this point is pretty much 0%. The only bad thing about my trips now is that because there's no other egoic bullshit for me to deal with, and I see very clearly, it also means I get into a non-dual state of reality sometimes, which that is the bad thing, which that is not, that's like a very uncomfortable state of being.
What?
It's, you can't describe it, you'd have to experience it. It's like if I told you, you never tasted an apple before and I tried to describe to you what an apple was, like no amount of description is going to help you. But the best I can say is that everything is just one. There is no me.
We should actually do a podcast about that, and I feel like that should be like a separate one.
Oh, what?
Like a separate podcast where you just talk about that, what you're just talking about.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's a podcast about psychedelics. And it's hard to describe, like, But that's why I'm, for some reason, that's the only reason I'm hesitant for psychedelics now, is because I don't like being in that state, because it's like a nothingness state. Everything just is. That's the only way to describe it. And there is no, like, you know, normally, say you feel happy. Like, there's a you to feel that happy. But when you're, like, totally see things for what they are, there is no you. Everything is just one, and there is no, like, right now, I look at the Tim Hortons cup over there.
It's just the watcher.
Not even, because right now, with the watcher thing, it's like, there's a watcher watching something. But in that state, it's just all one. The watcher and the watching is all just one. It's very hard to describe. But, like, this happened on our last LSD trip, and that's why I went out for a bit. I really wanted to go for a walk. Like, you didn't notice anything was wrong, and I didn't really say anything was wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's nothing I can do at that point. But it's kind of like all emotional attachments kind of disappear. And it's like I feel like I've lived and done everything infinite times in a way. What else came to me? I don't know. It was just weird. I didn't even mean
to. How long did that last for?
Maybe 30, 40 minutes, thankfully.
Really?
What was and I thought doing? It was, we were just together. Like, I was still responding to you normally and everything. But it felt like when I was talking to you, it felt like I had to put a lot of energy to, like, control this character or whatever. Even though I had, like, I just didn't feel like this character. I felt like I was, like, something else inside this. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to respond now. And so, like, I'm playing, like, human.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy because in Jed McKenna's books, which he talks about enlightenment and truth realization, that state, the non-dual state, he talks about that feeling, like, playing the character, and there's, like, no life force in this world.
When you're, like, disconnected type thing? When you're disconnected?
It's not disconnected.
Emotionally attached.
Yeah, there are no emotional attachments. But I don't know, it's just a very hard state to describe, and it's not pleasant. Enlightenment is not pleasant.
So, but isn't that what everybody's goal is?
Well, that's because they don't know what it is. And Jed McKenna literally talks about it in his book. Like, people do not know what enlightenment is. If you knew what it is,
you wouldn't want it.
You wouldn't want it, yeah. And that's one of the realizations. Because I used to have that mentality because I was like, oh, enlightenment is a state of peace and internal happiness, blah, 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 and bullshit like that. But then I read his books, and he was the one person who speaks directly, who just everything he says makes so much sense. And you can just tell it is the first honest book that I've ever read in my entire life.
How do you know? Because
well, when you think about it yourself, that's how you know anything. It's like if somebody's telling you something and you think about it yourself, that's how you find out whether they're saying holds any weight or not.
I gotta read some of these Jed McKenna books.
You should, Babs. But yeah, he talks about that state, and he talks about how nobody, if you knew what enlightenment was, which is the non-dual state, you would not want it. It's a state of nothingness. Nothingness. And which I really felt.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
So what state would you want to live in? If it's not the enlightenment state.
My current state. I like my current state.
You
where
have,
it's like what? Very diminished ego. But obviously you can't be alive without ego. Okay, so he talks about. There are three stages. There are three stages or developmental stages of humans. There's the one most people are in, the ego-driven state or the egoic state. Everything, you are a separate self in a big universe. And then he talks about, and he calls that human childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says there's human adulthood, which is dying of the flesh and being born of the spirit. So it's kind of like seeing through your ego and realizing that you're not a small thing in a big universe. You are the universe and everything within it or whatever. And then there's the third state, which is truth realization or enlightenment, which is a state of nothingness. It's kind of how he describes it. So reality is an amusement park.
And just for fun.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of different rides in the amusement park. And by rides, what he means is different characters to play, different things to be caught up in or to take seriously. Because the point of reality is to get lost in it and to take it as real and serious. and that, like, yeah, I can't
it's
say anything.
It's very
but,
true.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
When, so you have the little amusement park, which is a circle, and outside the amusement park is enlightenment, and it's just nothingness. Think about it like an infinitely big parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And which is death, because death is just nothingness, and that's it.
How do you know?
How would you know
that after you cut the line, it's completely going to be nothing?
Well, think about what happens when you sleep.
You're dreaming.
No, not when you're dreaming. There are sometimes you dream. But, like, it's just nothing. When you sleep, there's nothing.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
But how do you know it's going to be the same as when you go to sleep?
Sleep is like death, pretty much. Except a death you wake up from.
That's...
Although I don't think death is permanent. I think you die and it's nothing. But like...
I wake up.
Yeah. But I don't think I'll wake up back as this character.
You'll wake up as a turtle or something.
Who knows? There's
depending on what
there's
you reincarnate into.
There's literally like an infinity, which infinity is right now. Like, right now, we are existing in infinity.
No, honestly, I agree.
Because all there is now. But, like, when you think of the infinite possibilities of, like, where you were before. Because, like, where was I before? My experience on Earth? Oh, I have no fucking clue. But maybe I was an alien. Maybe I was in another kind of reality. Maybe I was an ape. Maybe I was a tree. Fuck knows. You can be anything in infinity.
Maybe you're the same person, and but you're playing a different character every lifetime.
That's what all
we talked about that.
Well, your ego is. So you said that you're the same character, but your character is like kind of a blank piece of paper. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So like the only difference. So right now, I'm Hatchim. You're Carla. Other people are whoever they are. But in actuality, we're a blank piece of paper. That's nothing. But then these things go on top of the piece of paper that create who you are and what we start to identify with and start to think as is real.
So we're basically not real, though.
Yeah. The person you are is not real. Like, right now, if you were, for example, we talked about this. Man, this is a good example of, like, analyzing yourself and who you are. It's like, if you were to go get a gender transplant, if you were to go change your personality and the things you like, what is the thing that remains about you? Who are you then? Like, it's nothing. Because right now, I think of, like, oh, a lot of people you think about, oh, I like this, I do this, I look like this, I wear these kind of clothes, I do these kind of things, I'm interested in these kind of things. But, like, what if you were to do the total opposite? What if you were to change yourself? Why are you that? It's impermanent, so you're not that. What is the one thing that doesn't change is kind of the question. So it's
the
like,
observer.
Yeah, it's who are you? The observer is who you are. Because even in this moment...
So if someone asks you in a job interview, who are you? I'm the observer.
Honestly, that'd be the most honest answer. But then obviously you have to play into the games of reality. Oh no, I'm handsome, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you have to play the games reality.
Yeah. But what was I going to say about... I think I was about to say some other shit. What the fuck was about to go on and talk about? So who you are... Oh, like right now. So this is an interesting thing you can see on psychedelics or feel on psychedelics. It's like the moment is all there is, and the past did not exist. So a lot of people's pain or a lot of their thinking or a lot of their doing comes from past actions that kind of continue to influence them into the future. But like nothing I've done before... In this moment, actually matters if I change what I'm going to do. Because I could have been doing something for 18 years, but in this moment, I can just stop doing that. And I can go change and start doing something else. So that thing isn't even a part of me.
But you wouldn't know otherwise. Well, yeah, no, that's true. So literally, yeah, you can just play with your character however you like.
The moment is always a blank slate. Now. It doesn't mean I'm just... now, there are certain personal preferences I have.
Like what?
But I'm not going to go into the specifics because I'm just trying to translate an idea. That would lead me to, like, just doing certain things other than other things, instead of like always constantly being changing, because that's just, actually I don't even know what point I'm trying to make here, but yeah, just about how we're a blank slate.
We really are.
A funny thing I thought of on psychedelics too, one time when I was...
The life is the pen. You know what I mean by that?
Life draws life, who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because
the experiences you have, which are kind of random and chaotic, end up shaping who you are. Kind of like your parents. Don't mess with the phone, Beth. You're going to make it noisy. Yeah, that's actually a very... Life is the pen. That's actually a very cool saying, Bubs.
Yeah, babe. Because it's... It makes sense.
Yeah.
And we only... And who knows where life will take us next.
You don't know. You really never do. Like, honestly, if you were to think of, like, how you got here now...
By the subway. Were,
huh?
By the subway.
Yeah, you wish the subway.
Ew.
But, like, I'm talking about... the experience of life and how you got here. Now it's like all these random things that you are never in control of. You were literally never in control. All the things that happened to you, like, you did not choose your parents.
No,
you did not
that's
choose,
actually very true.
Yeah,
I did not choose,
like, your school, your early friends and
broke.
Everything.
You know,
you exactly. did actually you did choose to be broke. By just saying that reflects your own mindset.
Well, I love being
let
rich.
It be here no let it let it let it be known rich. Here that you are
rich as most.
All right, good. You gotta be careful with your speech.
Let's continue this.
Yeah,
after
okay, well, let's go for one more minute so we hit the 43 mark.
That's okay, guys, so honestly,
to wrap it up, oh well, actually no, we're gonna go a little bit longer because there was one time we were on, I think this was our shroomy trip, okay, when I helped you therapeutically or whatever.
Right.
And I thought of this funny thing. I was like, nobody can hurt you unless they kill you.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that. I do
and
remember,
like,
that.
And, like, to me, it was such a powerful insight, especially in that state of psychedelics, because literally no matter what happened to you, nobody can hurt you unless they actually kill you, because in the present moment, and let's take this... to a drastic experience. Let's say somebody was traumatized, beat and raped when they were in their teens or something. And you know how we always associate a lot of trauma comes from experiences like that, which again is true. But a powerful insight that can kind of, let's say that was me that it happened to, and I was on psychedelics. That would be a very freeing thing, because in the present that does not exist anymore. And whatever happened has happened. Obviously, I'd let out the emotions that I need to about, like, how it felt like I got taken advantage of and how I was powerless, blah, blah, blah. Things like that, that somebody would probably be thinking and feeling that negatively impact them. But that cliche kind of cuts through everything, or not cliche, that saying kind of cuts through everything, because, like, hey, you're alive right now, and look around your setting. Like, whatever happened to you in the past, it's not here anymore. It does not exist. All there is now. And it's kind of like a clean slate of anything in the past that has negatively affected you or whatever, or that shapes you.
All in all, time now is what really matters.
Yeah, and it's what is, because the past is a fiction as well as the future. How can you prove anything other than now exists? You can't.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
Alright.
Okay, we're gonna have to
what?
Continue this, because I'm going brain dead.
No, this is a good plan. We'll do another one later. But that is that about it on psychedelics, concludes. But we'll definitely probably talk more
on
about psychedelics.
Why you should take and why you should not take psychedelics. And we will
There is no reason not to take psychedelics.
Yeah, I know, but we're not going to...
tell people to take psychedelics?
Tell people to take the psychedelics.
That's true. If you guys go crazy, if you guys get fucked up, that is on you. Get your shit in check. Fix your ego.
That's your problem, not
I'm over here. I'm going to continue tripping balls and having fun and exactly. expanding consciousness. All right. That's you're right. wrong.
That is why you're wrong. All right. All right, you guys. See you in a bit. Bye. Holla.
Peace.